When I launched my Sponsor Games event last year, getting sponsors for the event was a big way in which I was not going to lose a bunch of money. But when I started reaching out to these brands, I wanted to do things differently. I didn't want to offer all of the a la carte options. I didn't want to let brands sponsor the lanyard and the swag. I thought that stuff was cheesy. But you know what? I've actually come around. So today we're going to talk about why I've evolved in my thinking.
All right, Justin. So you obviously have helped people, lots of creators, make millions of dollars in sponsorship. You've done it yourself. Now that you've successfully had your first event where we're ramping up for the next version of Sponsor Games, are you approaching sponsors different?
There's this tension that I found, dude, where I always want to do things differently. That's just in my nature. I want to be like, oh, you've done things that way? Well, you've never thought of this, you know, and then brands are like, I imagine brands are going to be like, oh my God, you're a genius, right? Here's a bunch of money. But the cold truth of it, honestly, that I found, especially with in-person events, is that sometimes you don't need to reinvent the wheel, right? I think that, you know, brands have a certain expectation oftentimes, especially if they've sponsored other events. You know, usually they're most comfortable being able to sponsor a dinner or sponsor the happy hour, and they get the drink tickets, and being able to sponsor certain signage or have their name on the lanyard if they're the presenting sponsor or whatever. And we didn't really have any of those things last year at Sponsor Games intentionally. Obviously, we were trying to be different. But the more I've thought about it, the more I think, you know what? Maybe we don't need to be super different. And especially if a brand is asking, hey, can we sponsor like a dinner or a lunch or something? It's kind of stupid to say no, right? And so what I'm not saying, though, is that I'm going to give them a menu, an a la carte right. menu, where it's like, here's all the different things and here's all the corresponding pricing. Because I don't know, I think that's a race to the bottom, because then brands are just trying to pick and choose. And then, you know, they're just trying to think about supporting the event from a purely cost perspective. But again, I do think that I'm going to be probably just a bit more traditional in terms of what we ultimately offer to these sponsors.
I think it really goes back to, well, there's a couple of things I'm churning on right now, right? My friend Chris Lemma has said, you know, he was in several talks and conversations. He has said things like, when I go to a country I've never been to, most people will look for the local cuisine and find the restaurant that they've never been to serve the delicacy. I always look for a McDonald's because I know what I'm getting from McDonald's, right? Like, I know exactly what I can expect. And it feels a little bit like that with events, right? Like, we had a conversation about product placement and, like, what's the ROI versus brands looking for conversions from creators. I don't think necessarily brands are looking for conversion from events. They understand how events work. I postulate that most events are just like historically bad for ROI, as like you're sending a team there and you're doing all those things. But like the optics are you're supporting a community, people are seeing your logo. And so when a brand knows what to expect, I think, again, it's like an easier sell.
You know, this one of the most surprising things I think about talking with sponsors. In fact, I just had a phone call with one of our sponsors about sponsoring next year's event. And I straight up asked them, like, what did you value the most about, like, hey, did you value having tabling where there was like, you know, a spot in the back of the room where they had their signage and some swag and all that? And they were like, nah. Like, they were very clear, like, I don't really care about that. And they said, what I valued the most was that you were so kind to shout us out from the stage. That was not something I was planning to do, by the way. It was not like okay, and here's where Justin's going to be on the stage in front of everyone talking about how awesome, you know, sponsor XYZ is. But it was just a very natural thing. And I wanted to just like authentically thank the sponsors, because the event would not have happened without them. And that's what they said, was like just being recognized in front of everyone, because he said like that we've sponsored other events and like that doesn't always happen. Like they may just be, oh yeah, it's on the, you know, the signage or whatever, and you get it put out in emails, but like no one's actually like saying thank you from stage. And so that was like really interesting. Also, they said they valued just being able to straight up like interact with the attendees, right? Surprisingly, I think at other events, there's this like, I don't know, there's almost like this wall where like there's this area in the conference area where all the booths are, and maybe some people are kind of milling around during the breaks or networking type things or whatever. But like, is the sponsor going out to dinner with the attendees? Is the sponsor like actually having a meaningful conversation with the attendees? Hit or miss sometimes, I feel like. And I think we were pretty intentional about including all the sponsors in all those, you know, and we're, in fact, we're trying to be more intentional next year about perhaps integrating into the programming some sort of like speed dating type idea where it's like, okay, now is the time where we're going to go back and, you know, we're going to, you know, groups, you know, red and yellow are going to go talk with this sponsor and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we've even toyed with the idea of asking the sponsors to allocate a certain budget to sponsoring creators at the event. So like, hey, you know, we're going to guarantee to sponsor at least $5,000 worth of deals or whatever, and people we meet, or I don't know, it might be hard to pull some of this off, but like, we're trying to think big in terms of really integrating the sponsors into the event.
Yeah. And so I really like that, right? Because like, you are right. Like, even one of my favorite events throughout the year is Craft and Commerce. And I think the sponsors do a very good job of integrating themselves with the attendees, right? Like, Mighty asked if I wanted to go to dinner with them, right? Like, that sort of thing happened. Mm-hmm. But the booths there are like a tough sell because they're in the back, they're dark, they are like where the actual talk is happening. Similarly, like Podcast Movement, like those booths couldn't be further from like the main talks, right? And in some events, maybe Podcast Movement is one of them, but like in some events, like there are talks going on among the booths. So like, I think for big conferences, like booths make sense and people want to hang out. Obviously, like when I did a lot of WordCamps, the hallway track was its own thing. And we made sure like the hallway track happened where the sponsors were. And so like sponsors could have conversations. But like this mix of like trying to get them, the sponsors, more involved with the attendees and offering them some of the traditional stuff, I think is really smart because it does help them little column A, little column B, right? Like, oh, so we can sponsor the lanyards. But yeah, this other thing also sounds interesting, right?
The other thing, I think that there's this kind of weird dynamic when you have booths or you have this kind of sponsor attendee relationship is that, I don't know, at least with most booths, is that you walk up, you've got some sort of 10 by 10 cube. Usually there's like a table like blocking off the entire booth from the attendee. So it's this kind of like, you know, the attendee sheepishly shuffles over, the sponsor rep comes over and they have this very superficial conversation about like, what do you guys do? And or it's like the attendee is like pitching really hard and like, I want to collaborate with you and here's my card and like, let's talk. And it's just this like really weird, you know, interaction that doesn't have to be that way, I feel like, especially at least at with the event that that we have put together. I think it's so much more fruitful for both parties to try to get what they want out of being a part of it by removing those barriers, especially the physical barriers of like, hey, you can't talk to each other in a way that's not weird. I don't know. I just, obviously it's like our event is a bit meta because it's like a event about sponsorships and we have sponsors there and the whole point is to try to get them to interact. But yeah, I mean, even I think especially, dude, in the age of not only post-COVID, but in the age of AI, in-person events, connection, I think brands are going to start investing more and more dollars into this type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like a couple things on that, right? Like even like pre-COVID, like in non meta conferences, my biggest podcast sponsors came from me talking to event sponsors because it was really easy positioning. It's like, oh, you're spending $50,000 to be here, for $10,000 you can sponsor my podcast for 6 months.
Did you actually say that to them, that yeah, explicit
absolutely
positioning?
Absolutely. I was like, think about this, right? Like for one-fifth of the cost, I will talk about you for not 2 days but 6 months, right? Like, so like, I mean, it was just and I knew, but I also knew their goal for sponsoring those events was supporting the community. And I was a voice in the community. So, like, I mean, it was also that. It wasn't just like, hey, because I am a commodity. But, like, the other thing that you mentioned there is, like, if we were talking explicitly without the pretext, like, the conversation of attendee approaching sponsor booth would be Hey, I know you're going to sell me something and you know I am just here for the free stuff. So can you just give me the free thing and I'll give you an email address that I'm never going to check? That's what, but like they got to do the awkward dance, right? Whereas if they have a better conversation where it's like, oh, hey, why are you sponsoring this event? Like, who are you trying to reach? What are your goals?
I think a lot of people are terrified. It's almost like you're at a middle school dance and you're like trying to approach the, you want to like go ask someone to dance or whatever. And you're just like, you know, you're looking at your phone and like glancing up, like, when do I make my approach? Like someone's talking to the sponsor rep right now. Like, how do you find the confidence to just make that approach and like open up a conversation with the sponsor in person?
I like to think about people who offer unsolicited advice. Right? Because they're very confident that they can help you. And when you're approaching a brand, if you view it as this brand is just going to think I'm hitting them up for money, that's when you don't have the confidence, right? Because nobody likes to ask explicitly for money. But if you approach it from, hey, I can help you. You obviously want to reach these people. I can help you reach these people for more than just a day or a weekend. That's how you, because now you're, it's not just transactional. That's sowing the seeds of a relationship and a partnership.
I want to real quickly, I'm going to insert right after this clip. When I was at Podcast Movement Evolutions in LA a few years back, I recorded myself pitching Riverside FM live. So Riverside is the tool that we use for this podcast. And I actually went up to the booth and recorded myself. I got permission from Steven, who was the guy there. Yeah. And I showed myself, like, how do you actually do this pitch? And so I want to insert this right now.
Creators, let me tell you one of the best things to do when you're at a conference, and it's not to attend panels. It's to talk to the sponsors. Almost no one wants to talk to them. This is one of the best ways to get brand deals. Let's go.
Steven, what's going on, man? Dude, I know your face. Every time I open Riverside, I'm like, that's the guy. This is Steven from Riverside. Anyone who is a Riverside customer probably knows this face. What are you guys working on for the rest of the year? Any cool things coming down the pipeline?
Yes. Spotify for Podcasters is now a partner.
Huge.
And so you can record and edit Riverside, publish Spotify all in a simple flow.
That's all. Is the Spotify partnership, is that a relatively new thing?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Just in the last
few weeks. Oh, wow. Okay. Are you guys like looking to spread the word about that partnership? Is that, you did a press release? I didn't even see that.
Yeah,
like,
we did a press release and we had a video on the channel.
If you're ever looking to like spread the word more about that particular initiative, I have a sponsorship coach. So I've got about 33,000 creators on my newsletter. Let me give you a card here. I've spoken with Lisa a few times. I don't know if that's, is that the best person to chat with about something like that?
It is. Yeah. Lisa's the one. And yeah, I'll connect with her.
Yeah. See what she's doing. Awesome. Well, Steven, great to put a face
to
the name.
You.
Nice.
Let's debrief. Okay, so what did I do? Well, I went up and I didn't talk about myself. I talked about them because that's what matters. It's know a few people. I've talked to some people on the Riverside team before. Never was able to forge a partnership. But, you know, again, even though it didn't work out that time, what I like to say is it's not no, it's not yet. So I continue nurturing that relationship, figure out what's going on in their world, and see how I can help.
Okay, so that clip. Perfect, right? I mean, like, obviously, because you're doing it and we're teaching this stuff, but like, you didn't just walk up to guy who, I don't think Steven knew you at the time, right? I think
he didn't know. I'd never met him.
Right. So like, you didn't just walk up to somebody you don't know and be like, hey, I see you're sponsoring this event. Do you want to sponsor my content? You asked him, like what launches or what?
Yeah,
new,
like what's going on
what
in your world?
Campaigns,
yeah,
what's going on? Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Right. So like you immediately made it about them because they were obviously there for a reason. Outside of like Riverside's a big name and Podcast Movement Evolutions is like the industry trade show version of Podcast Movement, and so that's really what it was. You approached it from a place of, hey, you clearly have a goal. I can help you reach that goal. If you're getting ready to go to a conference and you want to try this, like that's how you find the confidence. And that's also how you get the conversation. Because if I recall correctly, right, there were no deals made at that moment.
No.
Steven would have to bring it up the chain, but it did gain you a conversation and maybe another contact within the company, right?
Yeah, I actually posted that video same day of that interaction, and Steven DM'd me, and he was like, I shared this with everyone on Slack because they thought it was hilarious because I tagged them, right?
Yeah.
And two learnings. Like, one, for me, I know that Riverside sponsors events. That's good to know. I have an event. let's apples to apples comparison here. Let me not try and reinvent the wheel and say like, hey, I know you're sponsoring this event. You should sponsor my digital content. I say, no, you're sponsoring this event. I also have an event that focuses on creators, et cetera, let's talk. Can you intro me to your events team, right? Because that's the person that probably handles experiential stuff. But again, so like this major learning, which is just like, rather than trying to convince a brand who has never sponsored the type of content format that you're pitching, try to find brands that are currently sponsoring other people in your niche who are doing the same thing, because that brand has clearly shown that they're investing in that content format or investing in your niche. So again, I think rather than trying to play on hard mode and try and do this dog and pony show and convince brands endlessly of like why brands who have never worked with creators, potentially start with brands who are already investing in that medium.
And that's so much better than like the, hey, I use your thing and I love it, right? Like lots of people do, you know, use whatever. And love it, right? You loving my product doesn't help me accomplish my goals. And that's really what we need to drive home, right? Is that the brands have goals for the year, for the month, for the quarter, whatever. And by positioning yourself as a person who will help them do their job better, you have a leg up. I also think it's worth mentioning that, like, you know, in this case, like the person you talked to at the booth probably ain't the decision maker.
I was talking with someone, we were actually doing a dry run of sponsor games before we had run the event, just to like kind of see how it would go. We did it virtually. And one of the people who participated in the dry run, there was about 30 creators in it, had close to 10 million followers on the internet. And they were saying that they were just having a really tough time getting responses from brands when they would reach out because they had done some pitching and they just couldn't understand it. Like, I've got all these followers. Like, why aren't brands responding? And the toughest piece of advice that I had to give them was like, the brand doesn't care that you have 9 million followers or whatever. So I don't remember what it was, 6-7 million. And they were like kind of shell-shocked because that was their identity. I've got millions of followers, right? And so like, that's what I lead with. I'm getting millions of views. I have millions of followers, because pretty much anyone else in their life is impressed by that, right? It's right. Like, oh, like other creators, especially friends and family. Oh, wow, you have millions of followers. That's impressive. But like, it's hard to hear that like lots of people have millions of followers on the internet. And so if that's what you're leading with when you reach out to a brand, they really don't care. They don't know who you are. And in their mind, they're thinking, they might be thinking, I read this article on Adweek one time of this one brand who sponsored Kim Kardashian or some mega influencer and they generated zero sales or whatever. And so they have this image in their mind of like, I don't want to work with a giant influencer because, you know, it might not work out. And so it was a tough pill to swallow for this person, for me to say, like, you can't lead with that. The brand doesn't care that you have. Yes, it's a huge wind in your sails if you can convince them that you can help them accomplish a business objective.
Well, millions of views help you with pay-per-click ads if you're going to have pay-per-click ads, right? Or like, I mean, it lends some credibility if you want to speak at conferences. But like, to your point, I have around 3,000 YouTube subscribers. And when I speak at like high schools and like my kids' career day, people are impressed by that. I don't find that impressive. They find that because they are anchored to like 10 people, right? Like their classmates, basically, or whatever. So like, I think that's really important. On the flip side, you don't need a lot of followers or subscribers or views to get sponsors. Mm-hmm. My podcast was sponsored pre-launch. Zero views, zero downloads. I had a sponsor on day one because I could reach their audience and their goal was to promote something, and it was cheap enough. But like, they didn't say, oh, well, what's your CPM? What's your CPV? Right? They just said, oh, yes, we want to support you and you talk to the people we're trying to talk to.
All right. I got to read you a DM that I got on LinkedIn yesterday, because this is going to perfectly hammer home what we're talking about here. This is just, I could not have planned this more perfectly to just like be like a yeah, 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 like a give you a golf clap on the back of that statement. All right. So this person DM'd me. They live in Uzbekistan. Okay.
All right.
So not historically a place where advertisers are spending a lot of money, right? Right. They said, hey, Justin, I grabbed your Sponsor Magnet ebook last week, which is $9, by the way, sponsormagnet.com if you haven't picked it up. Finished it yesterday, and wow, I followed your exact pitch, pricing, and negotiation strategies, and I landed 4 figures in brand deals. My channel just crossed 1K subs, and before this, I hadn't made a single dollar. Massive thanks for putting this together. I just got this literally yesterday at 12:50 p.m., okay? So to your point, dude, like this stuff, if you can focus on what's in it for the brand, it's not about how many followers you have. It's not about where you live necessarily. It's about framing it in a way where they realize that, okay, we can accomplish these things by sponsoring this person.
The last thing I'll say here is like, again, like we help lots of creators do this. And understanding the goal is really important. So like a brand told a creator that their goal was repurposing. And then they also came back with like, well, like you don't really have a lot of views on your channel. And like repurposing, in my experience, like the views shouldn't matter, right? So like that was telling me like their goals are different, but this is where our conversation with the brand is really important. And so like, if their goal really is repurposing, like you could literally have zero views. All you need to do is make a really good reel or a really good short clip for the brand to then use in their ads or on their owned and operated properties. So like keep that in mind too.
All right. By now, you know, a la carte pricing is not the way to go, whether it's an event partnership or a content partnership. You might be thinking, yeah, but what about product placement? I'm getting millions of views. Won't brands want to be on my bookshelf in the background? All those eyeballs. I don't know. Make sure to watch this video right here where we dive into it in detail.